Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back as our guest the mayor of Providence, Jorge Elorza. Thank you for joining us.
Ian, it's great to be here.
The Pawsox's quest for a new stadium in Pawtucket is over, at least for now. That's after State Senate President Dominic Ruggiero this week said there's not enough time left in the legislative session to review the team's proposal. It remains unclear whether the Pawsox will remain in Rhode Island or go somewhere else. So, Mayor Elorza, what do you say? Did Governor Gina Raimondo and state lawmakers do the right thing by putting off consideration of the team's future?
Well, I'll say, thankfully, that's not on our plate anymore here in Providence. It never really made sense to have them here in Providence. I've gone to Pawtucket Stadium so many times, Pawsox Stadium. It belongs in Pawtucket. I hope they can work it out. Whatever comes out of this, it has to be something that's at least revenue neutral for the state. It has to be a good deal. So I'm happy that, they're refining the deal and making it a much better deal for the entire state.
Maureen, it seems about even about whether the Pawsox will stay or go. Was it a mistake for politicians to put off consideration of the stadium proposal?
Well, I think given the context of what's going on now, probably it's the wisest thing they could do in the sense that the idea that the legislation was delivered late gave the leadership some cover. And the proposal by Dominic Ruggiero that we might revisit this in the fall, it may be that once the budget is put to bed and those issues are resolved, we can look at what seems to me a fairly reasonable deal that can generate some economic prosperity in and around Pawtucket might be viable. Unfortunately, the negativity is so high, it's going to be a 50-50 thing as to who wins the hearts and minds to get this off the ground.
Scott, in 3 years' time, will the Pawsox still be in Rhode Island or somewhere else?
That's a pretty good question. I think we're lucky so far, Rhode Island is, that there are no other communities, at least publicly, courting the Pawsox. If the legislature can come back in September, say, or early October, and do this, that could be fine. But we all know what happens. Once they adjourn, we open up the whole thing to being nibbled to death by ducks.
Back in Providence, the city council has been marked by some rather dramatic changes of late. Council President Luisa Ponte stepped down from that post after being indicted on campaign finance charges, and voters in Ward 3 recalled the city's longest-serving councilor, Kevin Jackson, after he was charged in a similar case. Both of these men had flouted campaign finance requirements for many years. Mayor Elorza, should you have done more after coming into office in 2015 to bring attention to this issue or to seek a change?
So as I said, this is just so frustrating and it's so discouraging. Every time we feel like we are turning the corner when it comes to corruption in city government, we're reminded that there's still so much more to go. I want to make 2 points. The first one is, I'm very thankful that the voters in Ward 3 sent a resounding message that this kind of corruption just isn't going to be tolerated here in our city, anywhere in our state. And I hope it's a message that is received as such by anyone even thinking of dipping into the till. The second piece, with respect to, the current leadership in the city council, it's really unfortunate. It comes at a bad time for the city. I want to make sure that we simply put this past us. An important way of putting this past us is, to get a new president in the city council, to have someone that we can work with. There's so many important pending issues in the city. I want to get back to work and make sure that we can continue the progress that we're making as a city and make sure we're not thrown off track by these distractions.
Scott, between them, Luisa Ponte and Kevin Jackson had about 40 years on the council. They had some accomplishments as well as some issues. But how do you look at that issue? Should more have been done sooner to address what was going on with them?
I do think the mayor is right. It's hard for him in his position to do a lot about this. They are a co-equal branch of government. I think one of the big problems with the city council has long been parochialism. People worry more about their neighborhoods than the city at large. And I'd like to see a charter change where perhaps 3 or 4 council people are elected at large from the whole city.
Maureen, what does this tell us about the political system that incumbents have a lot of advantages in seeking re-election? They sometimes can flout these campaign finance requirements. From your perspective, what should be done about that?
From my perspective, one of the things the Aponte incident did is I think it's an indication of the changing of the culture. This kind of practice was ubiquitous across branches of government, I mean, in terms of reporting. When he was first charged, about 24 legislators changed their campaign finance reports. That sent a signal. So I think things are moving in the right direction. And the idea that the governor's proposal that if you owe any money, that you probably can't stand for office might be a good suggestion. And even before that is implemented, the fact that one of the candidates, Terry Hassett, who's going for presidency, has missed 2 campaign finance reports suggests that this should be held against him. That, you know, that was okay years ago, but that was then and this is now. And I think what you're seeing slowly and painfully is a changing standard.
We're a little short on time here, but Mayor, we'd like to ask you about the Community Safety Act in a surprise move that was tabled by the City Council last month. Supporters say it's necessary to raise police accountability, but Police Chief Hugh Clements and the police union lobbied against it. Why is this necessary in your view, and is it going to ultimately be passed by the council?
So it will ultimately be passed. And, you know, when you compare where we've begun and where we began and where we're at right now, now, some of the demands or some of the requests in the original version were pretty extreme, and some were just outrageous. But we've been working with the City Council and with many of the advocates, and we have it to a point where it is a good piece of legislation. In fact, it's the most comprehensive piece of community police relations in the entire country. So we're establishing ourselves to be to be leaders in this field. So I'm really excited about that. You know, you can never invest enough in police and community relations. And I'll give you an example of how this process will actually make our police department better. When we first began, there was a proposal to completely eliminate the gang database. Now, we pushed back and said, this just doesn't make sense. The gang database is a valuable law enforcement tool. The advocates came back and said, well, look at the list that you keep. There are people on here that have been there for years. They've turned their lives around. They don't belong on this list anymore. To which we said, you know what? You're right. This is a tool that we use, and it behooves us to make sure that the list is scrubbed every so often so we know that everyone who's on that list needs to be on that list or deserves to be on that list. And so through this process, we've actually come up with a compromise that is a good bill and is ultimately going to make us a better police department. So I'm excited to have it passed. And as soon as it comes to my desk, I'm ready to sign it.
I think most people would agree the police department is vastly improved from the after years of Buddy Cianci's time in office. Why has this dialogue gotten so much more polarized in recent years than when similar issues were being discussed during Buddy Cianci's time in office?
I think it's a result of what we've seen throughout the country. But let me first make this point in terms of the improvements in our police department and also in public safety throughout the city. The most violent forms of crime, they've declined dramatically over the past several years. This past year, there was a 30% decline in shootings over the 5-year average. That's amazing. 2016, we have one of the lowest levels of homicides that we've seen in a long time. And there wasn't a single gang-related homicide in all of 2016 in the city. That's amazing. A lot of credit goes to the work that's being done by the police department, but it's all of the stakeholders. And that's the proactive approach that we've been taking to public safety, building up those relationships. And as we've seen throughout the country, you can never invest enough in making sure that those relationships are strong.
All right, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Providence Mayor Jorge Alorza.
Great to be here.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblin, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, follow our website at ripr.org.